Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. We're gonna save the world tonight. Welcome, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Today is a very, very special day to my heart. It's Earth Day, 22nd of April. Every year is Earth Day. It's a day that honours and celebrates our beautiful planet for all of the wonders and the joy and the resources that she brings to our world. So this is a really special day for me. So happy Earth Day to you all. I'm, you know, in honour of being a presenter on UK Health Radio, you know, genuinely, it brings such a smile to my heart every week, and this week's particularly I'm really excited just because it's Earth Day and I've got so much today to say to you all. So thank you for joining us. I will say today we have a very, 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 very special guest. We always have special guests, but today it's particularly special because today our guest is going to be the Earth, this conscious, living, breathing being that some call Gaia, we call planet Earth. And, you know, clearly this is a living, breathing, joyful, wondrous, magnificent, conscious, alive, incredible being, planet Earth. So in honour of Earth Day, planet Earth, we bless you. And I will be inviting you to come and share your vibration and frequency with us all on this very special day. So let's begin with this. So Earth Day, what is it all about? Well, Earth Day itself is really like, I guess, Valentine's Day or, you know, those other days that are in our annual calendar that really celebrate and honor specific. So this one is particularly dedicated to Earth Day, which, of course, is a monumentous day, really. In my opinion, and please accept this with the humility that I speak of it, we should actually be celebrating the Earth every day. You know, people talk about, well, you know, Valentine's Day, you should love me every day. But yes, that's very true. But perhaps more importantly, we should actually be honouring our wonderful planet. Now, why? Well, let's look at businesses, for example. Let's look at our food resources. Let's look at the water that we need, the air that we breathe, the sustenance that we need to survive, the businesses that need materials in order to sell products, in order to make profit. Every single thing that I can think of, whether you're a service industry, whether you're a resource industry, a product industry, comes from the earth. So even if you're a service industry, you still require energy, you still require materials, you still require everything. If you think about it, not only the apples that we eat and the toast that we eat in the morning, but the clothes that we wear, the computers that we use, the vehicles that we drive in, the houses that we live in, the way we get to and from work, the energy that we use to power our resources, our mobile phones, every single thing comes from the earth, everything. So I can't quite get my head around why we don't honour this beautiful planet every day. So this show is going to be about honouring our beautiful planet every day. So let me just get back to where I started with this. So today's Earth Day. There's an organisation called earthday.org. You can check it out. I'm going to be sharing a lot of links today so you can guys can check out and get involved in you know, in being a part of a solution to what seems to be a really big problem, which we are describing as the climate crisis in human terms. I always wonder if nature is describing this as a crisis, or whether nature or Mother Earth or Gaia or whatever you want to call this beautiful planet, I wonder if she's calling this a crisis, I don't think she is. And I'll go into a bit more detail about that shortly. So, because today's Earth Day, we've had a pretty important event of activities today. One of them being our magazine, My Green Pod, is live today, is the Earth Day issue. It went out at midday today, so it's only been in the ecosystem of digital space for roughly an hour and 6 minutes. But today you can get for free our 44-page magazine dedicated to Earth Day. Now, in the magazine, on page, what page is this? Page six. We've got an article that is about Earth Day. We actually work directly in partnership with the Earth Day organization, and they very kindly support us by distributing the magazine out to their millions and millions of people across their networks, as we do partner with lots of other partners as well, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. Let's start with Earth Day. So this year's agenda for Earth Day is planet versus plastics. It's a campaign that they've really, really got behind in order to create more awareness on Earth Day so people can actually become a solution and not a continue to be a problem. So the article in the magazine goes on to say, today, there is no escaping plastic pollution. It can be found in every corner of the world, from the remotest parts of Alaska and the Sahara to the Amazon rainforest and the freezing isolation of Antarctica. We've all heard laments that plastics have been found on the tallest mountains and in the deepest trenches of the oceans. And the sad fact is that is true. I can add a caveat here. They did a survey, a test, if you like, some research on 200,000 people in America, and 100% of them had plastics going through their systems. So they had ingested in some way, shape, or form plastic. So it's not just the planet, it's within us as well. The article goes on to say plastic production, microplastics, the tiny slivers of plastic that the naked eye cannot see, are even, oh, it goes on to say that here, are even inside our own bodies. They've been associated with a whole range of health issues, including hormone disruption, Alzheimer's, reproductive issues, obesity, cancers, male fertility, strokes, and much, much more. I mean, this is lethal stuff. Now, this environmental and public health crisis is why EarthDay.org chose planet versus plastics as the theme for the Earth Day 2024, and is calling for a 60% reduction in plastic production by 2040. So 16 years from now, a 60% reduction. Now, considering that half of the world's plastic is single use, this is not an over-ambitious goal. It's what the planet needs. So, if you want to read more about that campaign and get more involved in the Earth Day's plastic versus planet, or planet versus plastic, should I say, go to mygreenpod.com/magazine. You can download the magazine, you can read all about the article, get yourself clued up, and start to begin to take, responsibility for the amount of plastic that you're using in your home. Get your family to get involved. There's been some amazing campaigns that individuals, children, families, office places have done to get behind reducing their plastic usage. So, feel inspired, get involved, and do what you can do, please, in order to reduce your plastic use. Now, why is this important? Plastics, as we may or may not know, are made from the fossil fuel industry. It's oil that comes out of the ground that goes into making plastic. And because there is a massive amount of reduction in the use of oil in the obvious places like vehicles and boats and airplanes, and although actually we haven't actually reduced our usage of oil, but there is, of course, commitments and awareness. And, through the Paris Agreement, there are certain countries that have committed to reducing their use of fossil fuels. What the plastic industries are doing, because of course they are a commercial outfit that have shareholders with a bottom line that need to make money, they've shifted the use of oils from, cars and vehicles and factories, etc., heating, things like that, into making plastics. So they haven't stopped the usage of the oil abuse. They've just literally diversified the business model in order to make more plastic. So that's why this is a major issue. So do your bit, get involved, and be part of the Earth Day's culture of today, which is to reduce plastic. So there were lots and lots and lots more articles in the magazine. So do go to mygreenpod.com/magazine in order to get your copy. And once you've got your copy, send it to your friends. Send it to your, I don't know, your mum and dad or your brothers and sisters or colleagues that might not care as much about the planet or their health as you do. So on that note, I just would like to share with you, because today's guest is Mother Earth, I'd like to share with you how I feel qualified to be inviting Mother Earth to come and join us as our guest. So, a bit of background on me. I've never done this on this show, so I think it might be quite important for some of you listeners. And really, thank you for coming back to listen to this show because, you know, it's a new experience for me, but I'm loving it and enjoying it. So, back in 2006, I worked for a international media company that provided magazines for newspapers, and newspapers like The Observer and The Times and The Telegraph and The Guardian, etc., etc. And my job was to create campaigns with brands to give them exposure in these supplements that went into the newspapers. One day, I'm sitting at my desk. I get a call, look at my phone, didn't recognize the number, picked up the phone. Jarvis. Hello, this is I can't remember his name now. Jake, I think, from this is Jake from Channel 4. We're doing a TV show. I can't tell you what it's about, but we are asking individuals to go and live in the most extreme environment on the planet. Would you be interested? We've seen you on another TV show. We know a little bit about you. We know you're a signed recording artist with a band. We like your personality. You know, would this be something that you're interested in? And I said, well, you know what? If it's not Big Brother, then yes, I would be. I'm not after stardom and fame through, you know, just through a load of rubbish. But actually, if I could be on a TV show that is going to have an impact, then this sounds amazing. They described it as an eco-observational documentary. So all we knew is that we're going off to an extreme environment. We would be in the environment for 3 weeks. We would have to have vaccinations and injections before going, and I would be with nine other people. So there were 10 of us. Now, it turned out I was the only one that was invited onto the show. Everybody else had seen an advert and applied for it. But for some reason, the researchers knew me and thought I'd be an interesting character to be on this show. It was probably because about a year before this show, I went on to another TV show and trying to raise some money for a music project, bringing sacred sound together with pop music. Now, why is that important? Because I trained with a female shaman indigenous to the UK for 14 years in the arts of sacred sound, yoga, listening to the earth, plant medicine. And I don't mean ayahuasca and this South American stuff. I mean, you know, UK-based indigenous plants connecting with the healing properties, which many of us will understand and know. So I did that 14 years training, and it turned out that I used to tell people that I could speak to trees and listen to the wind, and you know, the wind would speak to me and send me off on journeys and things like that. And not clearly this TV company just thought I was a complete lunatic. So they invited me onto the show. So I did have to go through some psychological tests, which thankfully I passed. I'm not sure if I would today, but I did. I had to have some vaccinations, you know, polio, hepatitis, things like that. So you can imagine, we all thought, well, I thought, because I wasn't in contact with anybody else, that we were going off to, I don't know, the Arctic or the jungle, you know, Borneo maybe. And then I thought, well, it can't be that because we've got celebrity, get me out of here. Maybe the desert. So it could be the desert, the Sahara, something like that. We knew we were going off to an extreme environment, right? So as months went by, went through the tests, went through the psychological tests, they ended up putting us in a hotel at Gatwick Airport the night before. So we obviously thought we were flying off. I still hadn't met anybody at this point. I knew there were nine other contestants because it was kind of seen as a game show kind of thing. It wasn't a game show at all, but that's what it was seen as. And In the morning, had breakfast on my own, and then a coach pulled up, all blacked out. We jumped onto this blacked out coach. I started to meet the other contestants, the other guests that were on the show. Stereotypical people. There was like the model, there was the gay guy, there was the alpha male, kind of quite arrogant black guy. Sorry, Jermaine, but you were. There was a carpenter, there was a Royal Navy engineer, and the list goes on. So there were nine others, all with deep personalities, strong characters. And then there was me, the tree hugging, signed recording artist, musician, bit of a fun, creative, tree hugging hippie kind of guy. But I also worked in advertising, was actually making, reasonably good money through the skill set that I had. So we got chatting on this coach, driving around for 2 hours, all blacked out completely. Had no idea what was going on. Obviously, we thought we were going to just pull up on the runway, jump onto a plane, fly off to somewhere. It turned out, and check this, right? The coach slowed down after about 2 hours of driving. The doors opened and we got to see this environment for the very first time. Honestly, nearly everybody screamed or swore. What we could see out of the door was piles and piles of rubbish. It turned out we were being dumped on a landfill in Croydon, of all places. So that was it. This was our extreme eco-observational environment. We had to live on a landfill. Now, we were dumped there with nothing apart from the rubbish. Nowhere to sleep, nowhere to n nothing to cook food, no shower, no toilet, no nothing. Now, they were very good to us. The first night they did actually give us a container to be able to sleep in with our sleeping bags, etc. And then that was going to be taken away the next day. So we had one day to be able to pull together materials from the dump in order to be able to build somewhere to sleep. Luckily, we found some metal poles. There was a big tarpaulin. One of the engineer guys actually put us up a kind of makeshift type tent. And the very first, not the very first night, but the actual night when the whole show started, we all slept in this tent. It was absolutely disgusting. The smell of the place was, I mean, honestly, it was one of the worst smells I'd smelled in my life. I couldn't sleep. It was that disgusting. And so, 2 or 3 nights, I think we ended up being in this cell. So the show was called Dumped. It was on Channel 4. You can look it up on Wikipedia or 4 On Demand. It was a life-changing show for me. At the time, as I said, I was a signed recording artist and I was actually in the process of writing my album. In a minute, we're going to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about the songs I was writing. I'm going to play you one of the songs that was completely inspired by that whole experience. But for now, watch this space. I'm going to come back to you in a second. We're going to just very quickly jump to a commercial break. This is UK Health's commercial break. I'll see you in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. So, as I was saying, just to remind you, if anybody's just joined the show now, I was just telling and sharing my story with everybody about how I got to be really involved in this thing we're calling the climate crisis. So it was really my wake-up call. I was talking about my experience on the Channel 4 show Dumped. So getting back to it. So we ended up on this environment, which was a landfill. Now, just to be very clear, just so you're not kind of too disturbed by this experience, it was a set, but it was built as a set right next to the actual landfill. Now, why? Because in the UK, they have certain health and safety regulations, and for some reason, we weren't actually allowed to live on the landfill itself, but it was literally like 10 meters away from it or something. So what they did is they moved all the rubbish from the landfill, put it onto the set. And so just for full transparency and clarity. But I can tell you it was absolutely disgusting and awful. There were rats, there were foxes, there was, it was that smelly that I couldn't sleep at least the first 2 nights. I think by the third night, I'd kind of got used to it. So by the fourth night, we'd managed to find, siphon through the rubbish, go to the landfill, pick up things. We found, some garage doors, some bits of wood. We found a copper water tank. So, we were beginning to be able to create this environment where we could actually live. We were going to be there for 3 weeks. Now, luckily, the weather was really lovely most of the time, so it wasn't peeing it down with rain all the time. We didn't get absolutely soaked. It was cold some days, but thankfully it wasn't too bad. Now, bearing in mind this was in 2006, the show was to highlight what is one person's waste is another person's gold, that there is no such thing as a way when we throw things away. As we now know, everything either goes to landfill, or certainly did then, or now we ship it off to countries that are poorer than us that pay us to take this waste. And then that ends up being dumped in the land or on in the sea. So, this is really, really a wake-up call. Now, bearing in mind, this is 2006. This is pre-David Attenborough's Blue Planet. This is pre any mainstream news. At that time, politics was so rife that climate change and the environment was seen as a political agenda, and therefore the news didn't touch it with a barge pole, even the BBC. So Channel 4 were extremely brave to bring the show to the forefront. And just for, just for what it did to me is what the highlight was of this whole experience, or low light, should I say, actually, the negative, mind-blowing thing that really came to mass was the amount of plastic that we were throwing away that was going into the ground that actually, as takes thousands and thousands of years to degrade. So the most obvious thing that I saw was plastic. Yes, there were lots of other things, but the main ingredient of that refuge dump was plastic. So it was and is and will continue to be an issue unless we do something about it. Now, the way you're probably wondering, well, what did you eat? Of course, we didn't scavenge for food. They were very clever, actually, the TV show. What they did is each week they had a different thing, different way of bringing food to us. So the first week they gave us the amount of food that an average family would throw away in a year. Would you believe it's £440 worth of food? And it's still today about £450 to £500 worth of food that an average family throws away in a year. So, just think about that. So you can imagine we had this trailer of food that rocked up. It was abundant. It was a, there were 10 of us on the show. It was a, really huge amount of food. So thankfully, some of us, we created a kind of makeshift stove. We were able to cook on a fire. We found some pans. We really were able to put stuff together. So we had this makeshift kitchen. So we were able to eat really good food. And actually, some of the participants were really good cooks. So they were excellent. The second week was not so exciting. The second week, they gave us really badly packaged processed food. Now, these are things like, not so bad, cornflakes where you open the box and quarter of the box is full, the rest of the box is empty. Packets of crisps where three quarters of the box is empty. You've got a little bit of crisps at the bottom. It's a really badly packaged stuff, but also ultra processed things like donuts. I mean, it was pretty bad. And I don't eat a lot of sugar. They didn't eat a lot of sugar then. Now I try to eat hardly any. But so actually, the second week we started to become toxic because we were eating this really awful stuff, starting to feel a bit headachy, a bit ill, a bit run down. It wasn't a pleasant experience at all. And then in the third week, they kind of re got the idea together. And what they did then is they gave us what one supermarket on an average day would throw away in terms of fruit and vegetables. And would you believe it was 133 kilograms of fruit and veg? Now, this is in 2006. A lot has changed up until this point, but this is where we were just a very, very short time ago. So that's what we did for food. Obviously, the creativity of the team, we were set tasks. We had to go to the top of the landfill. We had to go and experience the actual landfill itself, and all of the kind of degeneration of stuff that was happening there. And we talked about how long things take to do, for the earth to digest them, if you like. And it was just awful. But Some of the things we did do as well was got a bit creative in terms of trying to earn a bit of money. So we try and collect copper wire and certain things that the you know the somebody would turn up and we'd try and sell them stuff. So that was quite entertaining. We did manage to raise, I think, about 30 quid from copper that we'd cut from wires, and we were able to buy some pizzas one night. So that was pretty cool. But I tell you what happened to me and what happened to most people was we actually went into a quite an animalistic type state. We went back to basics. Now, bearing in mind, the TV producers of this show were our gods because they had the power to make decisions on what was happening. So there is a bit of a dark experience that we had, which I'll share with you in a minute. But first, I'm going to go to play a song that was that I wrote that was inspired by this experience. The song is called Planet. It's on my album, The Phoenix Rose. What's amazing about this song is that Junior Marvin, who is Bob Marley's lead guitarist, is the guitarist on this particular track. So we're going to play this song, and then I'll come back to share slightly more darker experiences of my experience on living on the dump. But this is Planet by The Phoenix Rose. Welcome back, welcome back. I hope you like that song. So that song was completely inspired by my experience and my understanding of what we were doing to planet Earth. It's on my album, The Phoenix Rose. So if you do want to support that, I've decided, or I did decide back then when it was released, to dedicate 100% of the profits to an organization called the 2022 Initiative. Actually, no, my apologies. Sorry, that saved the world. No, it was to Tree Sisters. So 100% of the profits are dedicated to treesisters.org, which is a women's movement who have raised money right across the world, loads of amazing women. And they planted nearly 20 million trees, not from my plays, I can add, but every penny, every drop that comes in for that song. So please do play it if you can, download it, send it to friends, etc. etc. So just on that note, whilst we're just in the middle of this story, we've currently got a campaign going to save some Bolivian rainforest. The campaign is roughly about $8, which will go towards protecting trees in Bolivia. It's a project called Amazon for Life. If you would like to do something today on Earth Day and give back to nature for everything that she's given us, we have got 70,000 Biru nut saplings that have been grown in a nursery that are ready to plant. And you could own or certainly support one of these trees for the next 5 years till it comes into, if you like, a commercial commodity. Biru nuts are the most important nuts on the planet right now. They have the highest nutritional value of any nut at all on the planet. And you can go and support that project by going to www.youfundnow.com and dash public dash en dash proyecto-1. So I'll say that again. www.youfundnow, which is the letter U, not YOU. www.youfundnow.com hyphen public hyphen en hyphen proyecto dash one. Now, if you want to Google it, you can just Google YouFund Now and put in Amazon for Life, Biru Nuts, and you can actually contribute to supporting that campaign, which would be amazing. Thank you very much. So, back to my experience. So, we're on week three now of this living on a landfill, the TV cameras being on us all the time. I explained to you that there was a bit of a dark moment. Now, the dark moment was this. One of the guys on the show, he obviously just became bored and just started to kind of badger and harass people. For me, for example, he'd do things like, throw stones at me and just kind of, do bits and bobs just to kind of wired me up. But I actually got on quite well with him at the same time, so I wasn't that bothered about it. He was literally just like a big kid, just trying to keep himself busy. But one of the things that he did start to do was be quite derogatory to some of the women. And so I grew up in an abusive environment by my step parent, the stepfather, not being nice to my mum. So this really, really got me. And there was a moment where he got really abusive with somebody, and I remember the animal instinct in me searched around the environment that I was in to try and, I didn't do this obviously, but my instinct was to pick something up and whack him over the head with it because he was becoming disruptive to the group, to the team, to us that were all working together. And I remember it so vividly. Thankfully, I was able to control my rage, and I obviously didn't pick anything up and whack him with it because, of course, that would be a horrible thing to do. But I was that enraged that I had to walk off the show. And I remember the camera picked up on me and said, "Jarvis, how are you feeling? We can see you're angry. What was going on?" And I had to explain that it brought up some childhood memories of, seeing, arrogant, horrible, toxic men abusing my mum and et cetera, et cetera. So there we are. We're going to go to another commercial break. Stay with me because I want to tell you now some of the joyful bits that happened on the show, some of the awakenings that I had, and some of the awakenings that the other people had. So bear with me. We're just going to cut to UK Health commercial breaks. Stay with us. I'll see you back in a moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. So I'm still on this living on this landfill. We've had some of these dark experiences. Funnily enough, after that incident happened, we had to go through a process where every member of the cast was interviewed by the gods, the producers. And they had to make a decision, or we had to make a decision, whether this guy should be kicked off the show or not. And each of us went into kind of, it was really dark actually, because we're in this environment. It was literally getting dark. We had to go and discuss, how we were feeling, whether we felt threatened by this person. He was a bit of a bully. He was a bit disruptive, but I don't think we felt physically threatened. So the general consensus was, yes, we'd let him stay on the show, but if it continued, he should be kicked off immediately. And the to Channel 4's concern, they did actually agree to that. So that was that kind of experience, which actually, if you think about it, we embrace this show in such a way that a natural disaster, which we are seeing happening on a weekly basis now, this was back in 2006, where there weren't so many. Well, possibly weren't so many happening, definitely weren't being so many reported. Nowadays, it's common, mainstream news. So we treated this environment like we'd been, on the back end of a tsunami, or on the back end of a, hurricane, or on the back end of an earthquake or something like that. Because, think about it. Any one of us at any time could be put into an extreme environment situation through flooding, or through those natural occurrences that I've talked about. There's volcanoes erupting, there's earthquakes happening, there's heat temperatures rising, there's floods, there's, look at what happened in Dubai just last week. I mean, it's a rich country, so it can actually deal with stuff like that. But when you look at, earthquakes in Afghanistan, or, in poorer countries in the global south, it's a completely different situation. So, let's just not be forgetting about the global south, about the people in the world that are not as rich as us, not as wealthy as us, can't deal with situations in the way that we deal with them. And let's just honor them in our thoughts and in our prayers, and possibly with our finances. So one of the reasons we're supporting and trying to create an abundance of monetary commitments from people to support this Bolivian tree planting project is because, something like 8 million hectares of Bolivian Amazon rainforest and dry forest actually have been cut down. If any more gets cut down, particularly the very, very last important corridor in Bolivia, that will be the end of that region. It will not be able to survive in the way that is currently surviving. So, you know, we need the Amazon rainforest to thrive because they're the lungs of our planet. And of course, you know, whatever we can do to support people in environments that are not as well off as us, please do. So look into that. Please, please, please. So moving on back to the TV show, back to me living on Dumped. There was the third week, nearly towards one of the last days, the local rubbish truck that drives around our streets every week, picking up our litter that we throw out and taking it off somewhere. The local rubbish truck came and picked up the rubbish that day and came to our environment where we built this, you know, somewhere habitable for us to exist on the dump and dropped its contents of the day on our site. We had to dress up in overalls and protective gear, masks, gloves, boots, etc., etc. Within what we had to do, so the project was, or the work that we had to do, was siphoned through this stuff, and there were three bins, and we had to make a decision: did this stuff have to go to landfill? Could it be recycled, or could it be composted? So recycled, landfill, composted. So started siphoning through this stuff. It was disgusting, obviously, to say the least. I mean, there's, you know, there was all kinds of stuff. There were needles, there were tampons, there were nappies. I mean, you know, they were the extreme stuff. Then there was all this rotten food and plastic, etc., etc. After about, no word of a lie, about 20 minutes, you can watch this on the catch up. I started to feel incredibly sick, like toxically sick. Like the, you know, the morning after your 18th birthday, where you've drank way too much alcohol and you're really, really suffering. Headachy, shaky, jittery, etc., etc. So I said to camera, I need to stop this. I am going to go and use some of the skills that I have through my training with a shaman. I'm going to release this toxicity and I'm going to replenish myself. So I went off. They thought this was hilarious, as you can imagine. I went off and I laid on the ground and I started to do some very, very deep breathing. And what I did is I gathered up the toxicity. And as I exhaled, my practice was that I would release it and give it to the earth. And then what I would then do as I'd released is draw from the earth, draw the replenishment, the rejuvenating energy that the earth gives us all the time, and cleanse myself. As I started to breathe in, I took this really deep breath. And I genuinely felt like I'd been hit by lightning. It was like a bolt of lightning. I heard these words: how you are feeling now is how I feel. I'm sick and I need your help to tell people. And I cried, as you can imagine. I committed to camera immediately that I would dedicate my life's work, not only in my lifestyle, but also in my, you know, working, earning money capacity, to educate and inspire and inform people about the damage that we were doing through consumerism to our planet and that she needed help. That was in 2006. The show aired in 2007. A couple of years later, I went back to my publishers. I launched the very first ethical lifestyle magazine that was focused on brands of value, sustainable brands. Then a couple of years later, I went on to launch National Geographic Green, which is the world's biggest ethical lifestyle magazine. It reached 300,000 readers. It was, you know, absolutely massive. And what we do today is a continuation of that project with My Green Pod. So My Green Pod is a magazine that is there to inspire, inform and educate you and everybody around you. So if you feel like you're clued up, you know enough about sustainability and you're on top of it, then get the magazine and send it to your, you know, your parents or your, you know, your children, your siblings, your family, your friends, those people that might not have quite woken up to the fact that actually we can all take responsibility for our actions, change our habits and live in a more succinct, holistic, connected way with our planet, Mother Earth, which is what we are celebrating today, is Earth Day. Now, there's something really important I want to share with you. I wanted to play so many more tracks, but I just haven't had time. I'm actually enjoying telling you the story. It's the first time I've really said it in a mainstream way. Through my shamanic practice, what I got to do was actually learn to listen to the Earth, learn to listen what she and it is trying to tell us. So, for example, you know, sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just hear this whisper in the wind and I'd end up going somewhere And I'd bump into somebody that I hadn't seen for years, or sometimes I'd go somewhere, my teacher, who I was training with, would be there in some random place, like in the middle of nowhere. We just happened to cross paths at exactly the same time. So I began to understand that the nature was talking to me. I was open enough and expanded enough in my consciousness through my practice in order to be able to not only hear, but perhaps be able to interpret what she was saying. Now, winding forward to 2023, in fact, 2020 to be absolutely precise, when we had the pandemic, when we had this COVID, awful COVID strain pandemic that moves through the world, I tuned in a little bit to Mother Nature at that time and asked, what's going on with the pandemic? And she gave me some feedback. And essentially, the thing was that this virus was coming to teach us about fear, that if we could get through fear, if we could get past fear and realize that actually we're not going to die. I know some people did, and I know it was really awful, but actually most of us didn't. The majority of people did not die from the pandemic. More people die from other things, toxicity, pollution, et cetera, than the pandemic. But anyway, that's another story. But essentially, the virus had come, whether it was man manipulated or not, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the same system. It came to teach us about fear. And many of us got out the other end and probably most likely went back to our old lifestyles. But we did, for a short matter of time, have a sense of awareness in cause and effect in the way that we were living, had a knock-on effect to the planet. And in the pandemic's sense, it was a positive thing. We all stayed indoors. We didn't order non-essential items. We couldn't get hold of them. We went out for a walk in nature every day, listened to the birds, et cetera, and we began to reconnect with this thing that we call our planet, Mother Nature, Earth, Gaia. But the brilliant knock-on effect of that was, after 2 or 3 weeks of living like this, right across the world, toxicity levels came down, energy usage came down. You were able to see the Himalayas from 20, 30 miles away. People in India that had lived in, cities that were so polluted and foggy from that pollution, hadn't ever seen the Himalayas in their lifetime, were suddenly able to see it. Birds were coming back. Nature was coming back, dolphins were coming back to waterways, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That happened in a matter of months. In fact, it happened in a matter of weeks and then extended to a matter of months and then extended to a little bit longer than that. So if we were able to combat this thing that we're calling a climate crisis, giving nature the opportunity to just do its thing by getting out of the way, then it just shows you how quickly we can actually reverse this cycle that we're calling a crisis. What I actually truly believe is we are being given an opportunity to evolve as a species, to become more aware, more conscious, more alive, more connected, work together, understand how that by taking away, simple non-essential aspects of our lives and living with the essential aspects of living only, we would be detoxifying, creating opportunity for nature to re-energize. Biodiversity, etc., etc. The four biggest issues when it comes to the environment and the detriment of what's happening with our climate crisis is number one, biodiversity loss. Number two, climate change, i.e., temperatures rising, weather patterns getting stronger. Number three, pollution. And number four, which is critical, is the way that we use energy. So they are the key symbols of the detriment to what is now being described as the potential for the sixth mass extinction on planet Earth. And you know what? It'll be us and some of the animals that die. Mother Nature will continue to do what it does. It can handle extreme heat. It can handle extreme floods. If you look at history, there was a time in history in the millions of years that this planet has been evolved that it rained for a million years, a million years. So, what we're experiencing is a winter full of rain and, the odd thing here and there is nothing in the grand scheme of what Mother Nature can handle. So we currently are the virus, but we can actually become the solution. So how do we do that? Well, number one, go to mygreenpod.com, read up on everything that you possibly can that you're interested in, get yourself clued up, get yourself educated, get yourself to understand what are the things that you can change in your life, and it's going to be different for everybody, that you can do to make a difference and become a solution. Number two, don't put your money into organizations that clearly do not care about our children's future. We all know who they are. There's some really obvious ones. Number three, make sure you move your pension fund Any money that you commit to pensions, make sure you move it to a sustainable pension fund. If you go to Make My Money Matter, you can see right there that there is a list of 20 of the top pension companies, the Scottish Widows, the Aviva, that are right there at the top. Go to see your human resources person or your boss or whoever sorts out your payroll. Tell them that you want to switch your pension to a sustainable impact pension fund, and make sure you get all of your team, your colleagues to do it. And if your employers won't do it, then you can actually challenge them by getting more information from Make My Money Matter and actually work out how to do that. You can send a letter to your local MP. You know, there's an election coming up. Tell them that you care about the climate. You want things to happen. You want changes to occur. Tell them that you care about it. And that will actually make the governments, you know, recommit to the sustainability initiatives that they had. But at the moment, both Conservatives and Labour have pulled away from their sustainability commitments. So, you know, get clued up, get badgering the people that we've chosen as our leaders, and make them make the right decisions for the communities, which is us. So on that note, there's been a lot of information here. I've really enjoyed talking. I've really enjoyed sharing my story. Most importantly, I hope you've enjoyed it too. I hope that you've been inspired in some way, shape or form. Now, if you really want to get to see a deeper dive of a story, I made a film called The Voice of a River. You can go to YouTube and Google The Voice of a River. It's on the My Green Pod YouTube page. It's about a man that was willing to give his life up to save a river. It's a guy called Marc Dubois. He is one of the main reasons why Earth Day is such a success today. He found out that there was a dam being built. This river was going to be flooded. And this was the river where he went canoeing and swimming and with his family. And he loved that river so much that he actually chained himself to the bottom of the dry-bedded river, because it was out of season, and he was the most wanted man for 4 days in America in 1970, because he'd written a note to say, if you are going to do this, I've chained myself to the bottom of the river, so you can't release or build the dam or whatever. I can't quite remember exactly how it works. And we made a film about it. So he is the reason why Earth Day is such an important, significant day today. It's called The Voice of a River. Go to YouTube. Please watch it. It's 11 minutes. It's 11 minutes that will change your life. He was willing to give up his whole life in order to save this river, which is a part of our beautiful planet. On that note, I'm going to end today. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you've felt inspired. We're going to end with Save the World by yours truly, Jarvis Smith. If you play this song, if you download this song, if you share it with us, add it to your playlist. Every cent and pound that we earn from this song is dedicated to the most affected people and areas as part of Fridays for Futures, Greta Thunberg's movement. It's for the kids in the global south, essentially. So play the song. Thank you for having me. I've loved it. Happy Earth Day. Go and do what you can, not just today, every day. This is Save the World by Jarvis Smith featuring Rita Mora.